This is Pittsburgh Sunday Morning. My name's Sean McDowell. If you'd like to be a guest on the program, if you're the member of a group or organization that has an upcoming cause or event that the listening community would be interested in, doesn't necessarily have to be a local cause or event, doesn't even have to be a nonprofit cause or event either. Contact me. My name again is Sean McDowell, and my email address is my name, and you spell Sean, S-E-A-N, Sean@DVE.com, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. Welcoming to Pittsburgh Sunday Morning for the first time, it's registered nurse Renee Thompson. Welcome to you, Renee.
Thanks, Sean. Glad to be here.
Renee Thompson has 23 years healthcare experience, including clinical practice, nursing education, quality management, and executive leadership. And today, Renee is the founder and chief connections officer at RT Connections, an organization that educates, connects, and inspires current and future nurses. Renee is also the author of the book, Do No Harm, Applies to Nurses Too, Strategies to Protect and Bullyproof Yourself at Work, rtconnections.com. And we're going to talk about your most recent book this morning as well, Renee. Celebrate Nursing, Human by Birth, Hero by Choice. I know you travel a lot, Renee, and being an author as well, but you still have at least like one foot in nursing. You still actually are a nurse, a working nurse, right?
Yeah, I do. I actually still take care of patients. I have a casual position at Mercy Hospital, and where I work on a neurotrauma step-down unit just once every couple of weeks, because I think it's really important for me to actually know what nurses are going through, to know what it's like to actually care for patients in this complex healthcare environment that we're all working in today. So, yeah, I still take care of patients, and I love patients. I mean, I love, you know, doing what I can to support patients and help them to have better outcomes.
Well, it's going to be a surprise, I think, to just about everybody listening when we get into what we're really going to get into talking about this morning with Renee Thompson again, and she still is a working nurse, 23 years healthcare experience. So we all have challenges at work. Whatever it is we all do for a living, some days are difficult, some days are really difficult. But for a nurse, I would think that most days are a serious challenge. You're responsible for people's immediate health and well-being. As a nurse, you could be looking after someone who is seriously ill, maybe seriously injured. It could be a small child. It could be a teenager. It could be someone's wife or grandmother, someone's brother, in a precarious life or death situation. There's always the risk of infection in a hospital. Nurses, Renee, you guys work long hours. You work shifts. My impression of nurses has always been that they have their hands full all the time with major responsibilities, serious stuff, an emotionally draining environment. Nurses are always supposed to be professional, but they're right there in so many heart-wrenching situations because people die in hospitals, young and old, for a million different reasons, and nurses are witnesses to this every day. And I always wondered, Renee, how nurses manage to harden themselves emotionally so well, working in that situation for a career every day. And we can get back to all this, but the reason you're here this morning is to discuss this situation. Incredibly, 60% of new nurses leave a job within 6 months, according to a study by St. Joseph University in Philadelphia. That study found that abusive behaviors like sabotage and insults are perpetrated nurse to nurse 80% of the time. So, Renee Thompson, this morning we're going to be discussing nurse to nurse bullying. Renee, a registered nurse herself, 23 years healthcare experience. Renee, I was so shocked myself when I found out what it was that we're going to be talking about, that bullying occurs among nurses and is actually common among nurses. And you yourself, as a working nurse, you have been bullied as a nurse.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's really interesting if there's this phrase called horizontal violence. So it's peer, you know, oppressing another peer. And if you would go around and ask nurses, you know, if they've ever heard of the term horizontal violence, not everybody has actually heard of that term. But when you say nurses eat their young, oh my gosh, everybody knows what that means.
Well, I didn't. I was going to bring that up because when I saw that phrase, I'm like, well, I thought to myself initially, this really happens, first of all, that nurses bully each other. You yourself, in an article that I read in the Trib Review, Renee, nurses are supposed to be all about caregiving. rtconnections.com, and I'm going to get back to, like, in just a minute. Nurses eat their young. rtconnections.com. Renee Thompson, registered nurse herself, 23 years healthcare experience. She's an author as well. She travels the country doing presentations on the impact of behaviors and self-empowerment. Where did this all begin for you, Renee? Were you aware that bullying existed in nursing?
Oh, of course. Every nurse is.
Is this a secret that nobody ever talks about?
Well, it's not that we don't talk about it, but I will tell you that, you know, nurses are extremely kind and compassionate to patients, but we really can be horrific to each other. And it's sort of just this, you know, problem that we just accept as the norm, that we just know that, well, that's just the way it is in nursing. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, it's sort of like the boiled frog analogy. You know, when you put a frog into boiling water, he jumps out. But if you put a frog into tepid water and you slowly increase the temperature, that frog will sit there until it boils because it doesn't even recognize that the environment has become so hostile that it's, you know, threatening. And it's the same thing in nursing. We've all just gotten used to the way nurses treat each other that we've almost stopped talking about it. And when if there are nurses who are really being victimized, they just leave. They just end up leaving. And that's why we see this high, you know, turnover rate, especially in organizations that have a high rate of bullying. They leave.
That's the first time I ever heard the boiled frog story.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
I had never heard that. Yeah. Now, but nursing, it's a tough enough career choice to begin with, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago. So bullying has been prevalent in nursing for a long time, and nurses eat their young. That is something that all young nurses, all nurses that have been doing it for maybe 10 years, and all nurses who have been doing it for a career, they're all familiar with that phrase, nurses eat their young.
Yep, everyone.
Okay, I've heard this for a long time, Renee, although the issue of bullying among nurses never was mentioned, but I've always heard that there is a high turnover rate for new nurses, but I always figured that that's because your job is so demanding and the hours are so long.
Yeah, that is true. And the first 6 months to a year of a new nurse's career can be the most stressful, you know, period of time in their entire life.
Sure.
And I have a special place in my heart for student nurses and new nurses, and do everything that I can to actually support them. I actually started a meetup group in Pittsburgh called Nurses Mentoring Nurses. Huh. And this is a group that brings together students and new nurses and also experienced nurses who really still value the role of that student and new nurse. And then we're trying to counter this whole problem of nurses eating their young to this nurses supporting their young. And so, you know, trying to help these new nurses actually transition into professional practice in an environment that's supportive and nurturing. And I'm in a doctoral program right now at the University of Pittsburgh. I actually graduate in a couple of months.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
With a PhD.
With a DNP, yeah, Doctorate of Nursing Practice. And
so you got the brains in the family then. Good for you.
I hope my family's listening. Yes, I do have the brains in the family. But the work that I did for my doctoral degree was really to look at preparing student nurses to bully-proof themselves before they start their first job. So I created an online workshop for them, for senior nursing students to take to learn how to recognize bullying behavior, and then actually how to behave in ways that decrease their chances of becoming targets.
The hospital culture, I guess, new nurses, do they need to be baptized by fire, including being bullied? And the nursing school culture, Renee, aren't nursing students told up front, hey, this is going to be, and you just said yourself, the first 6 months of a brand new nurse out of school trying to figure out, you know, a career in nursing, are they told in nursing school, this is going to be tough, really tough, get ready for it? Are they told that?
You know, they are. You know, student nurses are aware that that first 6 months is probably going to be their biggest challenge. But I want you to think about yourself as a student nurse. Your number one goal is to actually make it through nursing school because nursing school is tough. I mean, it's very, very challenging. And then your next goal is to pass NCLEX. So that's the exam that gives you your registered nursing license. So they don't really worry too much about what it's going to be like to be a new nurse because they're so focused on, I got to get through nursing school and I got to pass NCLEX.
Is there a high dropout rate in nursing school?
Well, it depends. There are some schools that have a higher standard of, their courses and the expectations they have of their students than others. And so depending on how, what their entrance criteria are, some students go into nursing school and are not capable of doing the work. And then we see a lot of nurses entering into nursing school that are not the traditional, I just graduated from high school, I want to go to school. These are adult learners who also have a lot of adult pressures. Mm-hmm. They're single moms, gotcha. Or they've got a family, they're working.
Car payment, mortgage.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of factors that influence that. So I don't think the dropout rate is that high in nursing school, but you do see some depending on the school and the students.
Well, one of the very first statistics we discussed this morning, 60% of new nurses leave a job within 6 months. Now, that according, again, to a study by St. Joseph University in Philadelphia, which found that abusive behaviors like sabotage and insults are mm-hmm. perpetrated nurse to nurse 80% of the time. Here I was, and I immediately when I saw that statistic, 60% of new nurses leave a job within half of a year. I just thought it was the stress, the anxiety of being a nurse. However, as now we're finding out that bullying occurs among nurses and is actually common among nurses and is maybe the top reason why all those new nurses leave their first job within 6 months. Renee, I could see maybe doctors being difficult to deal with. I should reintroduce our special guest this morning. It's registered nurse Renee Thompson, 23 years healthcare experience, including clinical practice, nursing education, quality management, executive leadership. She's the founder and chief connections officer at RT Connections, an organization that educates, connects, and inspires current and future nurses. And she's author of the book, Do No Harm, applies to nurses too, strategies to protect and bully-proof yourself at work. We're talking about nurses being bullied by other nurses, and apparently it happens all the time and has been going on for some time. I could see maybe doctors, Renee, being difficult to deal with, dumping on or being demeaning to nurses, or maybe senior hospital administrators being difficult to deal with, worrying about overhead expenses, beds being empty, beds being full. But I would think that nurses themselves would stick up for each other in the workplace. You're all pretty much carrying the same torch here, no?
I know. It's disturbing. And I think you have to take a look at why is nursing so prevalent, or why is bullying so prevalent in the nursing profession? And, there are many theories out there as to why. Well, first of all, nursing is predominantly, a female dominated profession, even though you'll see pockets of
guys getting into it.
Yeah, but they still only represent about 10% of all of the nurses in this country. Okay. And let's face it, it wasn't all that long ago that females were competing against each other for the prized male. We wanted to marry the doctor, the lawyer, the banker. And so the way we made that happen was we made other females look bad. And now, catch up to 2013, females are the doctors, we are the lawyers, we are the bankers, but yet we haven't let go of those behaviors. And so sometimes the reason that some nurses will sabotage other nurses is to make themselves look better in the eyes of other people. And then, of course, there's this whole issue of oppression. It used to be that nurses were physicians' handmaidens, and when the physicians would walk on the unit, the nurse had to give up her chair, and we had to give the chart. And so you really felt that you had no power. And you've already mentioned the stressful environment that nurses work in, and I can tell you that. I mean, it's incredibly intense.
Oh, man. An emergency room situation, a surgery unit,
yes.
And everyone's sort of tense to begin with.
Exactly. And you're dealing with life and
yes.
death
mm-hmm.
situations. And you never can think about, I haven't gone to the bathroom today or I haven't eaten anything today mm-hmm. because you're always on to take care of strangers. I mean, these are strangers who we're caring for. And so I don't think nurses have learned really good coping mechanisms. And then you add all of these other adult pressures. It kind of creates this perfect storm. And I know as a nurse, I can't say, well, you know what? I think I'm done for the day. I think I'll go home. Or I've had enough work. That's enough work for me today. And, I talk a lot about stress. And, my definition of stress is when you feel that you don't have the resources to meet the demands placed upon you. Well, heck, that's a nurse. I mean, every day you sometimes, you know, are in these situations where you know you don't have the resources to humanly care for those patients the way you know they need to be cared for. So, you know, there's some release somewhere. And so easy target each other.
I've always wondered, like I mentioned earlier, I always wondered how nurses manage to harden themselves emotionally so well working in a high-stress situation for a career every day. But Renee, can you give us some examples of how nurses may bully each other when I thought that it would be nurses would like have each other's back all the time just because, like I say, they're all carrying the same load. Yeah. They're all dealing with, you know, life and death situations frequently.
Sure. Well, and I will tell you, there are pockets of really wonderful, you know, units and departments of nurses who behave in that way. So they've got each other's backs. They're a team. They do everything together. They support each other. And I have a blog that I blog a lot about this. Like, what would it look like if nurses actually went out of each other's way, their way to support each other? Mm-hmm. I mean, really, what would our work look like if that happened? And it does happen. There are really wonderful, you know, organizations out there doing really good things. But when we see bullying, I tend to look at it in categories. So when you look at human behavior in general, there's either overt behavior or covert. So overt, these are things that we can see. They're in plain view. They're not hidden. So here are some ways that a nurse might overtly bully another nurse. So openly criticizing that nurse in front of other people. I'll never forget this time when I was a new nurse. This one nurse who I worked with, she had it out for me. She was always picking on me, finding fault with me. The one time I couldn't put an order sheet in the fax machine, and I couldn't get it in right. And she came over and she pulled it out and she yelled at me in front of everybody, called me stupid. And I thought to myself, I'm not stupid.
That's awful.
Called me stupid. And I stood there and I could feel that I was going to cry. And I thought to myself, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry in front of all these people. And so I walked away, and I'll never forget, there was a physician who came up to me and he took me by the hand and he said,
"You're going to let her get away with that?"
And he said, "Why would you ever let anybody who isn't as kind, intelligent, and generous as you make you feel bad about yourself?" He said, "You hold your head up high, my dear, and you go back in there and you do what you do best. You're a good nurse." I'm like, oh my gosh, if it weren't for him, you know, I probably would have broken down and cried. But that kind of criticizing in front of other people. I've had new nurses say, I've asked this nurse for help, and the nurse said, go look it up.
Oh,
or
geez.
Didn't they teach you that in nursing school? The eye rolling, the, you know, some nurses will say things like, that's stupid, and why would you say something like that? And then you have this whole covert behavior where you don't even see it coming.
Like,
so somebody will be nice to you, and then, you know, they
behind the
in
scenes,
the back.
Behind the
oh,
scenes
yeah.
stuff.
So getting the worst assignments. I've had this happen where there might be a nurse who, for whatever reason, doesn't like you, mm-hmm. and now that nurse is in charge, and in charge of making assignments. So you'll get all the patients in isolation, the patients in restraints, the patients who are going through some kind of withdrawal, you know, so you get the most difficult patients.
As a punishment.
As a punishment, yeah. It's kind of like this sabotage, too, that they know that they can sort of get you back.
Renee, do you think patient safety is ever compromised as a result of nurse bullying?
Well, there's a lot of studies out there right now looking at the impact of disruptive behaviors and patient outcomes. And the Joint Commission is a regulatory agency that actually provides accreditation to hospitals. And back in 2008, they came out with a Sentinel alert that said, basically, you've got to address disruptive behaviors in your organization. You have to have a process in place because we know that it negatively impacts patient outcomes. So it doesn't matter who's the disruptor. It could be the physician. It could be another nurse. It could be the pharmacist. It could be an ancillary. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So disruptive behaviors in healthcare do have a negative impact on patient outcomes. And when you think about it, okay, if I'm a nurse and I'm new, and I'm working at 2:00 in the morning, and I'm working with a group of nurse bullies, and I have a concern about my patient. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something I'm not sure about. Am I going to feel comfortable asking my colleagues for help? Am I going to feel comfortable calling that physician up at 2:00 in the morning if I think he's going to scream and yell at me?
What a situation to be in.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And that's why I'm out there trying to do my part to help individuals and organizations put a stop to this because it needs to be addressed.
Renee, we have 5 minutes left. Ooh. Our special guest this morning is registered nurse Renee Thompson. 23 years healthcare experience, including clinical practice, nursing education, quality management, executive leadership. Today, Renee is the founder and chief connections officer at RT Connections, an organization that educates, connects, and inspires current and future nurses. And Renee is the author of the book, Do No Harm, Applies to Nurses Too, Strategies to Protect and Bullyproof Yourself at Work, rtconnections.com. It's nurse bullying we're talking about this morning, and I never knew, it never occurred to me that bullying occurs among nurses and is actually common among nurses and has been happening for a long time. Renee, when you first published your book, the title again, Do No Harm, Applies to Nurses Too, Strategies to Protect and Bully-Proof Yourself at Work, were nurses contacting you, thanking you for bringing this issue up? And I think you might have touched on this briefly. When you travel around the country to speak about the impact of behaviors and self-empowerment, do you meet nurses who are afraid to discuss their workplace environment out loud? Maybe they would rather just do it anonymously or privately with you.
I'm telling you, it's so shocking. Well, it used to be shocking. I guess it's not shocking anymore, but I would tell you that probably at least every other day I am contacted by a nurse, and these are nurses from all over the world who are dealing with a bullying situation, who are asking for help. Nurses, I have a nurse in Scotland who messages me all the time. I've actually had conversations with her on the phone from South Africa. I actually was contacted 2 days ago by a nurse who's a professor of nursing at a university, struggling with her daughter, who's a new nurse, who's being bullied right now. So yes, and every other day, I swear, I get some message, email, somebody will reach out to me via social media asking for help.
But have you noticed that hospitals themselves are beginning to address the nurse bullying
yeah.
issue slowly?
They
if,
are.
If but they are beginning to. This is happening.
It
They're
is.
Acknowledging the fact that this does happen.
Yeah, I think the combination of the Sentinel Alert from the Joint Commission has been very helpful. Plus, when we take a look at patient outcomes, you can't ignore the impact of disruptive behaviors on those patient outcomes. And with the new payment regulations and looking at things like value-based purchasing and how, you know, hospitals are going to be penalized if they don't achieve good patient outcomes, we have no choice but to look at the impact of bad behavior. And I think combination of things, I think there's an interplay of forces that are now encouraging hospitals to get some help with this, and in particular, help managers deal with the behavior of their employees. I mean, that's what they spend most of their time dealing with, but yet we don't give managers the training that they need to know how to deal with the behaviors of their employees. So yeah, I think they're getting on a ball with this. I'm getting more and more requests to come out to organizations to help.
We have to put a plug in for your brand new book. The author of the first book, Renee Thompson, Do No Harm, Applies to Nurses Too, Strategies to Protect and Bullyproof Yourself at Work. But now your latest book, Renee, Celebrate Nursing, Human by Birth, Hero by Choice, co-authored by Joanne Turka. Is she a nurse?
She is. Okay. She's a wonderful nurse.
But you guys, the two of you, you explore 10 hero powers and you present stories of real nurses who demonstrate each of the 10 hero powers, and then they become role models for mm-hmm. other nurses. Like in a minute and a half, Renee, what are some of the 10 hero powers that, and I know nursing is both an art and a science. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what some of the 10
yeah,
hero powers are?
And I will tell you, I decided to write this book because it's the title of a keynote presentation that I do all over the country for the last 2 years now. And I've had such positive feedback from people saying, you got to write a book. You got to write a book about this. So I did. And I asked my friend Joanne Turka to help me co-write it. And we identify things like this demonstrating compassion and living with integrity, owning your practice. We take a look at things like effective communication and how important it is that nurses learn to speak, assertively. We take a look at laughter. I mean, just being able to laugh, it's so beneficial health-wise, not only to your patients, but to yourself.
Where can people buy your books, Renee? Do No Harm Applies to Nurses, and also Celebrate Nursing, Human by Birth, Hero by Choice. Where can you purchase your books?
Well, they can go to my website, www.rtconnections.com, or the bullying book right now is available also on Amazon as a Kindle version or in paperback. My Celebrate Nursing book, that's actually going to be delivered this week, and you can right now get that on my website. At some point, you'll be able to get that on Amazon.
Author Renee Thompson, 23 years healthcare experience, clinical practice, nursing education, quality management, executive leadership, and she travels the country doing presentations on the impact of behaviors and self-empowerment. The founder and chief connections officer at RT Connections, www.rtconnections.com. Thank you so much, Renee.
Thank you, Sean.
This has been Pittsburgh Sunday Morning. My name is Sean McDowell.
Welcome to Joyful Reflections. I'm your host, Father Scott Seetaler. I'm a Catholic priest, a member of the Capuchin Franciscan community. My ministry is that of a traveling preacher. I travel throughout the United States spreading the good news that God is with us and He will never abandon us. Tomorrow, November 11th, is Veterans Day. And so I would like to dedicate this program to all those veterans who have done their share to keep us safe from harm and to protect us in a variety of ways. Both at home, when the National Guard is called out because of a terrible natural disaster, or abroad to protect us from people who want to harm us. I want to especially talk about wounded warriors today. A few years ago, it was on Valentine's Day, I had a wedding, and the groom had been wounded in Iraq by a roadside bomb, and he lost his leg. And, you know, as we were preparing for the wedding, you know what he said to me? Listen, I don't want you to focus on me as some type of hero. This is our day, not my day. So please, Father Scott, don't emphasize how I was terribly wounded, spent a year in Walter Reed Hospital, a lot of time in rehab. I thought that in itself was inspiring, that he didn't want his injury, his heroism, to overshadow the day of their wedding, his spouse, his special woman in his life, his wife. He wanted to make sure that both of them were the focus of the wedding and just not him. If you have been watching TV, you have seen commercials about wounded warriors. And I have to say, sometimes I start choking up when I see these commercials. What I mean by commercials, they're asking people to help with some type of a project, a Wounded Warrior Project, for example, or a Marines, they have something for their wounded warriors. But they show in these minute to 2 minute info commercials some of our soldiers who have been terribly wounded, and they're in rehab, and they're walking with two prosthetics, or they're in a wheelchair, or they're blind, and they show a picture of the person with their spouse or with their kids helping them, and or you see them actually able to get around on two prosthetic legs and or playing basketball in a wheelchair. And then the spouse or a member of the nonprofit will start speaking about how the Wounded Warrior campaign has helped them a great deal, perhaps buying a wheelchair that might cost $15,000. Well, as I say, I'm very touched by that, and sometimes I my heart comes into my throat. But, you know, I have to tell you that I am somewhat disturbed by those commercials to this extent, that they constantly need to raise money, to raise money, to raise money, to raise money to help our wounded warriors. My question is, why isn't our government doing that? Our government wastes so much money. We spend money on, well, trips to Vegas. Remember that one where they had a big party? Why can't we spend money on our wounded warriors? Why cannot we take care of them? They gave so much. They will have this disability for the rest of their life. Why do we have to have info commercials on TV asking the American people, who are very generous, to give money when we give so much of our tax money now to our country through our government? Why can't they have money to take care of our wounded warriors and not have these kind of nonprofits asking for help? Just a thought. Obviously, our prayer partners today are those wounded warriors. May God bless them and protect them and take care of them and their families. So for all of you veterans out there, I want to wish you a happy Veterans Day and may God bless you. If you'd like to listen to my program, visit my website at fatherscott.com. This is Father Scott. Remember, to love another person is to see the face of God.